already know the address.
66 Harborview Road.
Hello, hello, and welcome to 66 Harborview Road, a podcast dedicated to ABC's General Hospital. I'm your host, Caitlin, and in today's episode, we will be talking about the week of February 20th through 24th. Hello, hello, editing Caitlin here. Sorry this episode is later than usual. I had a family emergency earlier this week. On that note, I will be on a small hiatus. Any updates I have will show up on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Thank you all so much for listening, and I will talk to you soon. Enjoy the rest of this episode. I'm going to start with Willow and family arriving at home at the gatehouse on 66 Harborview Road, where Carly is waiting with baby Amelia. And I'm still confused if Willow is really dying or will something save her last minute. I really do not know. And now she's questioning if she should have come home at all. And how is she going to tell Wiley that she's going to be gone forever one day? And that one day is soon. As she's having just a mini breakdown, Carly comforts her about all the choices she made, saying, "You did the right thing in the moment with the information that you had." And I see both sides. Like, Carly made a really good point about how if something happened to the baby beforehand and Willow also died, that would have been just as devastating. But if Willow dies but leaves behind Amelia, very happy, healthy baby, I mean, that is a silver lining. And that also happens on soaps a lot. Up at the main house, Sunny is at the queues asking for Brooklyn's help to convince Willow to see Nina before she ultimately passes away. And I'm sorry, I had to laugh when Michael just slid into the room from out of nowhere. So Sunny turns to Michael, and he also tries to connect Willow and Nina, and he yells at Michael that he's tried everything to get through, and you're holding a grudge against me and Nina, and yada, yada, yada. I mean, Michael says it's not about Nina. It's not about what Nina wants. It's about Willow and her wishes as a dying woman. And she doesn't want Nina there. And that's fair. Meanwhile, Drew is at GH getting Willow's paperwork together where Nina walks up behind him. And he tells her that without a bone marrow donor, the doctors can't do much else. And that's why Willow left. She wanted to be home. Right away, Nina starts to blame Carly, and of course, Drew is defending the situation, and Nina says, "Wow, you're just like her." Like, Nina is going to go insane to get back at Carly, but I'm here for it. I don't necessarily want anything bad to happen to Carly. I just want to see what Nina does. Speaking of insane, Liz is still thinking about confessing to her part in Esme's, kidnapping, I suppose you can call it that. So Finn took her home from the wedding, and he is so afraid to leave her alone because he does not want her to confess. A few moments later, Scott Baldwin shows up, and Finn ends up having to go for an emergency at GH. So as Liz is giving Scott the play-by-play, he looks at her and says, "Have you lost your mind?" But he is willing to do whatever he can to keep Liz from getting a hard time. But what I'm worried about is one of her kids acting out and blaming it on past behaviors of Liz. If she goes to court and let's say Victor hires a lawyer on Nicholas's behalf or something, that lawyer can tear Liz apart for every single shady thing she has ever done with her kids hearing it all. I mean, Cameron will have a better understanding of, I guess, some of it, maybe. But Jake and Aiden... Oh my God, I don't want to see Aiden when he hears some of these things that Liz has done in the past. It's bad enough he only knows his father through video calls. And the big fallout of the wedding surrounding Portia, she is pleading with Curtis. And I didn't feel like Curtis was giving all the emotions I was looking for. He did definitely come off as betrayed, but I just felt like something else was missing. But anyway, Curtis points out that this type of lying is a pattern for Portia, and she is just devastated hearing that. Curtis leaves the room saying he needs air, and he doesn't know if he's coming back, and I don't blame him. Portia ended up calling her brother Zeke, and then there's a knock at the door. She opens it thinking it's Curtis, but it's Taggart. Oh man, he is so disappointed, not necessarily mad because he takes partial blame for their marriage falling apart, but he tells Portia she should have known better. Taggart would love Trina regardless of who her biological father was. And when he looked her in the eyes and said he is her father, point blank, period, I felt that in my bones. But he does pretty much forgive her. Curtis ran to the Savoy and tells Nika to go home and immediately starts taking shots, reminiscing about talks with Trina, about conversations that he's had. And Nika ends up calling who else but Hat Daddy. So glad it wasn't Nina, because for a second I was like, oh no, she's calling Nina because that's his best friend. And by the time Marshall gets there, Curtis is halfway through a bottle. Marshall tells him, put it away and I'm not leaving until we talk about this. And I really appreciated Curtis breaking it down very quick and concise. And with that information, Marshall compares it to his time that he decided to spend away from his family. Curtis argues it's not the same thing, but Marshall says, no, me and Portia both lied about something that serious. And to my surprise, Marshall says, don't give up on Portia. Now, is that because he didn't want anyone to give up on him when he decided to come back? Or does he really believe that Curtis and Portia's love will survive this? Curtis swells up a tear and hugs his dad. And when Trina ran out of her mom's room, she grabbed Spencer. They went to the Jerome Gallery. They talk about Esme being out and about and all of their emotions surrounding Esme's pregnancy. They switch the conversation to who's Trina's daddy, and I feel sorry for Trina. I mean, my heart really goes out to her. She is devastated, just completely heartbroken over her mom's betrayal. Her and Spencer then continue to bond over their mutual parent problems, and then they begin to make out. The perfect distraction for Trina. They're just so in love right now, and it is the best. Like, this is going to be the best time in their relationship. Everything's going to be referring to this moment. And at the gallery, we also saw Spencer bring out his prince qualities by not wanting them to get any more physical there, and offers to take her somewhere where she can really be herself. And that ends up being Ava's, which is now Windermere. And since we're heading to Windermere anyway, we see Ryan still in the living room. He doesn't get a chance to shoot Ava or Felicia, but Ava was perfect in these scenes. Her facial expressions, her tone of voice, everything. We also see that after Heather hooks Austin, Esme is screaming. Austin gets to burst into the living room very dramatically. Loved that. He falls over. Esme faints. And Heather confirms that she's been the hook the whole time. So, I mean, the hook is Esme adjacent. I mean, am I shocked? No. But I do hope Heather sticks around for a lot longer for more mayhem. Esme starts getting up, and Ryan says that she and the baby belong to him. Felicia then gets to hit him with a fireplace poker, but Esme just runs out the door, does not stick around for explanations, just jets. Unfortunately, Heather gets a hold of the fireplace poker, and Ryan gets up with the gun, and when Ava tried to pick up the hook, there was no time. Ryan then runs after Esme and tells Heather to do whatever she wants with the Aztec princess. But to everyone's surprise, Heather doesn't really want to get caught, so she tells Felicia and Ava to leave. Heather's so over this, it almost seems like she wants to go back to Spring Ridge and, like, try again, but that's delusional, so. Ava questions Heather why she would abduct Esme, and Heather tries to brush it off. And this is kind of when we start to see the domino effect of everybody finding out about the Chamberlain family. So this means that Esme has a half-brother in Stephen Lars and an Uncle Kevin, and Laura's side of the family is all her step-family. Heather fires back to Ava with her feelings about Ryan and then begins to tease her about what Ryan's been up to behind the scenes, now that everyone knows he was not locked in. Austin starts to wake up, and Heather continues to discuss how Ryan worked with somebody, but wouldn't say Esme. Felicia tries to stop all the anger in the room, and Ava decides to take Heather's gun and go after Ryan. Terrible idea. we do see in the woods that Ryan catches up with Esme and she says the baby is coming. I'm glad this didn't drag on too long, but I am curious who's going to end up with the baby. At first I thought, is Ryan going to go on the run with this baby? Will it be Ryan and Esme? Just Esme? I mean, this girl was scared out of her mind. Like, you can imagine that as soon as she would give birth, she would take the baby and run as far as she can from this crazy guy. While the pain is getting worse and worse, Ryan is trying to get Esme to remember how close they were. When Ava caught up to them in the woods, Ryan does confirm that he is Esme's father. And as Ava and Ryan are arguing, Esme tries to run away while in labor. Ryan tries to run after her, but Ava shoots him in the shoulder, but he continues to plead his love for her. Ava tries to shoot him again, but she's out of bullets or it's jammed or something. And Ryan really thought that if he tried to hug Ava, that she would just turn to mush and love him back. She almost let him, at least that's what it seemed like to me, but she pushed him. He began to scream, and luckily, that was all. So how was Ryan actually stopped? Well, it all started when Mac couldn't track Felicia's phone. They decide the escapees must be on Spoon Island, so they all get down to Pier 55. Kevin walks onto the scene, and of course, I loved that. Now, do you think that John Lindstrom films the Ryan scenes first or the Kevin scenes? Or do you think he just doesn't even get a choice, that it's just whatever they give him that day? But anyway, Mac is running out of patience because Jordan does not want to openly attack Spoon Island. And to my surprise, Mac pulls up a digital map of the tunnels of Windermere. I mean, I'm glad that Laura questioned it because it gave us Mac saying, what, after all these years, you don't think we'd have a map of these tunnels by now? I mean, he has a good point. There's so many jokes out there about the PCPD not being smart, but this was very smart. But also, how come no one has done anything with those tunnels, changed them around, or filled some of them in? I mean, if they're no longer secret tunnels because people can get a map of it, then what's the point? It just seems like you would get unwanted visitors all the time. When they do finally move onto the island, they do apprehend Heather. I was a little disappointed. I kind of wanted Heather out and about, but maybe there's something else in the works. And a small side story that did thread itself right into this storyline: Gregory Chase goes to Alexis's office at the Invader, unsure of wanting to take the job she has offered, and then Smoltz calls with a scoop, and Alexis calls Sam, but she ends up leaving a voicemail. Gregory sees that this is hot news, and he leaves, and Alexis starts to read the hook letter sent to the Invader. She makes a quick call to Spring Ridge, and then runs to Pier 55 to tell Laura and Kevin that she knows who the hook is based on all the victims were picked to avenge Esme, and that the person who wrote the letter was Heather. Kevin and Laura then piece it together that this was a family affair. Heather, Ryan, and Esme must be a family. Next thing we know, Spencer and Trina arrive at Pier 55. Alexis fills them in on everything. Spencer freaks out knowing that Laura and Kevin went over to Windermere, and they end up running into Heather as the police are taking her back to the mainland. And Heather looks into Spencer's eyes and says he's next, or that he was next. Either way, super freaky. But since they were able to arrest Heather, that left Mac free to run the woods, find Ava and Ryan in their altercation, and shoot Ryan. Jordan shows up right after him, checks his pulse, and claims he is dead. Everyone is not sure how to feel. Relief, but also sad for it being Kevin's brother. But Esme did not run off like I thought. She ended up going back to the main house where police, Laura, and Kevin are all waiting for updates. She ends up delivering the baby in Windermere and finds out that Heather is her mother. This girl is completely devastated, screaming she does not want to have Heather anywhere near her or this baby. And Laura is kind of stepping in as a pseudo-mom for Esme. It does seem a little bit fitting for some reason, but this is going to get complicated if Esme is truly faking this amnesia or if she's not faking, but gets her old memory back. So Esme has the baby. I was trying to take guesses on if it was going to be a boy or a girl. I asked Mildred, and Mildred guessed correctly. It's a boy. Spencer talked his way onto the island and sees Esme and his new little brother. Esme begins to tell him that she doesn't know who she was before, but she's not that person now. She's going to be the best mother and blah, blah, blah. I mean, we don't know if she's faking it or not, and that's the annoying part. Spencer looks at the baby and said he looks like a Cassadine. Mac returns to Windermere to tell Kevin that Ryan is dead, so Kevin runs up to the body. He's very conflicted, but they do show us a dead body. So I guess Ryan is really dead? I feel like with Ryan dead, it gives less story for Kevin, and I don't really like that. So I hope we still have just as much Kevin. And on the mainland in General Hospital, Felicia and Austin are there. He got treated for his hook wound, and Felicia questions his relationship with Ava. Luckily, before he has to explain too much, Finn enters the room to check his vitals, and Felicia sees and runs into Ava and Trina walking into GH. So Ava tells Felicia Ryan's dead, and they hug about it. And Austin can't think of a cover story. And he's also thinking that the police are going to find Nicholas. All of that leading up to Nicholas will be missing. Following Heather as she's entering the PCPD, Cody is at the front paying a parking ticket. And Sasha shows up posing as Heather's counsel. I was so confused until Sasha reminded us that she wanted to see the woman who killed Brando. And then I felt really guilty about questioning why Sasha would want to see Heather. So Cody runs to Dante and Sam's, telling him that Sasha is at the PCPD to see Heather. So Dante leaves, and Sam gives, like, the complete rundown of Cody's life in Port Charles. Thanks. But Cody talks about his plans when he first came here and now how he feels he should have never done any of it. Sam then explains how the Ice Princess is cursed. But with still talk of this necklace and the diamonds and the Ice Princess, I mean, is this foreshadowing that Sam and Cody are going to be involved in that? Meanwhile, Heather thinks Sasha is her lawyer and tries to play the I don't remember card and Ryan may have hypnotized me card. Like, she's pulling out all the stops. Dante walks in and Sasha says Heather just told her how she plans to fake insanity to get out of charges. And Heather figures out Sasha is not her lawyer. But she does say that she never hooked anyone named Brando while going after Jocelyn. And Sasha storms out. Heather seemed really shook by this, and she looked at Dante and said she's ready to confess. But confess what? She's always playing a game, so I guess we'll see. And the last thing I want to talk about is Jocelyn waking up in Dex's apartment in the buff, where he says his feelings for her are not casual, and she says samesies. Then Dex goes to make a phone call, and Jocelyn feels the need to listen in. Like, not everything is your business. Like, stop being exactly like Carly. So, because of Jocelyn listening in, Dex tells her that Sunny will be the one facing charges, not him, and proceeds to tell Jocelyn almost everything about his takedown Sunny plan. It left off with Jocelyn asking who the real employer is, aka Michael. That is just going to be a huge mess. Jocelyn claims she wants to go to school to be a doctor. I need her to get further along in that and then be really compromised by what Dex is doing. I feel like there's not enough at stake for her. Like, sure, Sonny could go to jail and that's Donna's dad. Cool. I don't think that's big enough for Jocelyn. I think it would have to be something that would affect her directly. So what's in store for next week? Are we saving Willow? Are we sticking Michael with two kids all by himself fighting Nina constantly to see them? Can he really go through with this takedown while fighting Nina? And if Nina's not careful, if she's constantly causing friction between crew and Sona, you're putting Carly and Sunny back together. They love to argue when they're dating other people. That's like one of their favorite things to do. And are we going to see Nicholas come back to try and get his baby? Will he be full Cassadine at that point? Like, evil, steel baby Cassadine? Can he be redeemed at this point? And if Esme gains her memories, what happens then? I'm guessing with no memory, the prosecution has to have irrefutable evidence to get her convicted. But Laura is also running around saying she doesn't want a child being taken from its mother. So it's just getting messier there. And then we have Trina with a lot to sort out, including Esme being out. But I'm more interested to see if we get more scenes in her dorm since she doesn't want to live with Portia anymore. And more scenes talking to Uncle Zeke, because that's who Portia called when she needed someone the most. But not only that, Trina should worry if she is a target for Victor now that she's involved with Spencer. I just can't believe how many things were revealed this week and how much more there is to go. There's just so much. I will be watching it all from right inside the queues. Find me on Twitter at 66_view. TikTok at 66_HarborviewRoad and Instagram at 66HarborviewRoad. From the Quartermain Foyer, I bid you a great week.